Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Just a great Friday lineup for you. Second hour, handsome Joe Sikora will be here. And in addition to his radio program, Joe practices as a licensed marriage and family counselor. And we're going to discuss faith and mental health that second hour. Joe's a lot of fun, and that's an important topic. So that figures to be a really good hour. This hour, open forum for non-Catholics. If you're not presently a Catholic and you would like to question us on any teaching or practice of the church, we're happy to hold open the lines for you today, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. If you're a Catholic, just hold off to for the first hour, please, today. We really want to address questions, concerns, maybe even challenges from non-Catholics at 888-318-7884. I am your host, Cy Kellett, and our guest this hour is Steve Ray, a convert to the Catholic Church and the author of three best-selling books from Ignatius Press, Crossing the Tiber, Upon This Rock, and St. John's Gospel. He is a writer and producer also of video materials, The Footprints of God, The Story of Salvation from Abraham to Augustine, that 10-part DVD series he made. And he and his wife Janet are certified guides to the Holy Land and lead pilgrimages all over the place. I think you got one coming up to Germany, if I'm right. Hi, Steve Ray. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Cy. Glad to be here. Yep, we're taking one to Germany. Still a few seats left open. We're going to Germany for the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Deformation. You notice I didn't say Reformation. And we're going to follow Martin Luther all around Germany and the Protestant activity, and we're going to argue with them a little bit along the way. Right now I'm out in the deserts of Phoenix. It's 108 degrees. Not my most comfortable environment for me, but we're working on our latest DVD in the series of The Prince of God. It's called Elijah and Elisha, and we just finished it up, and it's really fun, filmed in Jordan, Israel, and Egypt, and we're putting the last touches to it.
Well, now, you must have seen some hot weather in your travels to Egypt and Israel and Jordan.
We've been to the Philippines 6 times on missions and to India 5 times, to Dubai. You want to go to a hot place, go to Dubai. We went to Iraq 2 years ago to film our story on Abraham. It's hot there, too, but Phoenix is right up there with them.
So when do we get to see the Elijah and Elisha video?
It should be done by the end of the year. We're just putting the final touches on it. We're going to then get the printing, the study guide. I have to write the study guide for it, get it replicated. Should be ready by Christmas.
And again, to the listener, open forum this hour, any question that you have on the life or faith of the Catholic Church, but it's a special open forum. It's for non-Catholics. So we ask our Catholic listeners to just hold off for an hour and leave space for those who are non-Catholic and want to get their questions answered. 888-318-7884, the number. So just real quick, Steve, while we're taking these calls or before we're able to get to them, who are Elijah and Elisha?
Well, these guys are kind of like the black hole of Bible history. And we know a lot about Moses and King David and so on, but we get into the prophets. There's about a 1,000-year history there of these kings and prophets that have come all the way up to John the Baptist and Mary and Jesus. So what I did is I made a big 10-foot timeline, and I'm riding around on a Segway. That's kind of how I'm getting around in this movie. Every time I'm either on a camel, a donkey, or something. Today, on this movie, it's a Segway. And this big timeline, and I'm showing that 1,000 years. Elijah is called the father of the prophets, mentioned over 100 times by name in the Bible. And he's mentioned many times in the New Testament. He is a type of John the Baptist. John the Baptist and Elijah correspond with each other. Elisha and Jesus correspond with each other. Elisha is a type or a prefiguration of Jesus. So these guys are really interesting. They're mentioned over and over in the Bible, even in the New Testament, and they're very important. And once we get to know who they are, it really, and you know, Cy, what I'm doing with this series is these guys were fighting the pagan deities, the foreign gods of the Canaanites and the Moabites and the Phoenicians. They all had these gods, and the Israelites kept falling prey. They were seduced by these these gods. I explain why, and I show how today we have our own gods that we get seduced by, and we still need prophets today to come and bring us attention, these things to our attention. But I correlate the prophets in the Old Testament and all the pagan deities the Israel served, and how the prophets stood up and even lost their lives for it. And I compare it a lot with what's going on today.
Right. They're a great model for us, these prophets.
Oh, excellent model. In fact, the book of James says, even though Elijah had a nature just like ours, he wasn't an angel, he wasn't divine, he was a man just like us. In fact, at one point, Si, he was so discouraged, he fell asleep under a broom tree and said, God, I failed you. Just kill me. Just get it over with. Kill me now. So these, you know, they're real human beings who had the same struggles that we do, but yet it says that Elijah's prayers were heard because he was a righteous man, and God hears the prayers of a righteous man.
Amen to that. 888-318-7884, our number. Steve Ray is our guest, and we are open to any call from a non-Catholic on any Catholic question you've got, or if you'd like to challenge us, or would just maybe you're curious about something having to do with the life and faith of the Catholic Church, give us a call. 888-31-TRUTH is that number. Steve, when you've done this before many times, open forum for non-Catholics, and are there questions that you think non-Catholics regularly or most regularly have about the Catholic Church? In other words, what's the most common kind of a question, or is it just all over the place?
It's all over the place, but usually the questions are misconceptions about what the Catholic Church teaches. There's a lot of people out there who are saying the Catholics believe this, the Catholics do that. I know, because I used to be one of them. I used to be an evangelical Protestant. I used to think I knew all about Catholics and what they believed. But I realized that what I was saying was really not true over a period of time. And I had to, what happens with non-Catholics who want to challenge the Catholic Church is they're often parroting what they've heard from a pastor or a preacher somewhere. They've never really researched it for themselves. Not some have, but I'm saying in general, a lot of times the calls that come in are people who have heard things like, you worship Mary, or why is the Pope infallible about everything he says, you know, and yet you may argue with him about something, or purgatory, doesn't that take away from the finished work of Christ? So a lot of times the questions and the challenges come because someone has not really learned what the Catholic Church teaches and take the time to research it.
Amen to that. Wasn't it Fulton Sheen who said there's only a few people, maybe there's only 10 people in the world who have rejected Catholicism for what it is, but many have rejected it for what they think it is.
Exactly.
Steve, I think we'll take a quick break. Lines are filling up, so give a call if you'd like to get in line. If you are non-Catholic and you have any question or challenge you would like to pose us as Catholics, we promise to be I will certainly be civil. I hope we will also be charitable. 888-318-7884 is that number. We'll be right back with more open forum for non-Catholics with Steve Ray on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
Are you coming to the Catholic Answers Conference this September?
You guys put on a great show, so it's well worth coming.
Very powerful, very motivational and moving.
I think it's awesome. It's been really amazing to get to know people from all across the country.
Every time somebody's speaker finishes, I feel like I want to cry just because of how happy I am.
It's been pretty phenomenal. Very educational, enlightening.
This year's conference is September 28th through the 30th here in beautiful San Diego, and we want to see you there. Seats are still available, but act now because they are going fast. Call us today at 1-888-291-8000 or visit CatholicAnswersConference.com now and reserve your spot.
This is where it starts, and it definitely has started for me.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpo. In Matthew 19:3, some Pharisees asked Jesus if it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever. Jesus responded by quoting scripture that a man is to leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one. So they asked why Moses allowed divorce. Jesus said, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce. But from the beginning it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, commits adultery." When my father died several years ago, I realized how much I had always related to my parents by their relationship to each other. It was tangible and alive. Now I recognize it as the presence of Jesus holding them together. Mere creatures can never remove such a presence from their lives. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Don't forget, we're giving away the free Kindle copy of the Essential Catholic Survival Guide for just a limited time. It's really easy. You just go to Catholic.com, the homepage there, click on the banner that it will appear on the top there, and you get a free copy of the Essential Catholic Survival Guide. And you don't have to have a Kindle device for it. You know, you can get a Kindle reader for pretty much any computer you've got. So I imagine there's probably a computer somewhere that doesn't have it, but almost everybody can use a Kindle book. So we'll give you that free Kindle book, and it's really good, the Essential Catholic Survival Guide. Lots and lots of topics, a whole range of topics there that will be very helpful to you, and we'd love you to have it for free, and we're not asking you for anything. I guess that's what
can
free
means. Can I jump
means.
In here, Si?
Yeah, you can.
Can I jump in?
Yes.
I just want to say that survival guide is an excellent book. I have it on my desk, and I have given it away to untold numbers of people that ask me questions. What should I read? I have purchased so many of those in book form and given them away, so I just want to put a plug in for that survival guide.
Steve, did you write part of that book?
No, I don't think I did.
Oh, okay. But, all right.
I think it's excellent.
It is. Thank you. Well, thank you for that plug. Callers today, all non-Catholics, a few Catholics do call, but we ask them to wait until another hour because we devote this hour to non-Catholics who may have a question or a challenge for us as Catholics, and we will try our very best to engage in civil conversation with you about that. Peter in Bangor, Maine, listening on 90.3. You are on with, Steve Ray, and what is your question?
Hi, thank you, Peter, for having me. I'm a non-Christian. I'm a non-Catholic. Anyway, my question is how can the Catholic faith do more really grassroots work, not about talking, but about really acting when it comes to ending wars that are unjust, feeding the hungry, and really, talking about present, very serious issues, just like what happened in Virginia, Charlottesville. I mean, I don't hear enough of that, and I really would like that to happen. The Catholic religion has had a mission, and I'd like to hear more about that because I take notice of that. You know, when I listen to different faiths and what priests are doing and rabbis and people of faith that are really getting down to business.
And you think you're saying, Peter, you feel that the Catholic Church or Catholic leaders talk about other things more than about feeding the hungry or ending war or racism?
Well, I do. I think St. Francis, I am so, so glad that he is the Pope right now. I just cannot say enough about him. But I don't really hear that from other, like when I tune into Ray Arroyo's show, I just have to turn it off because he doesn't talk about that at all. He has guests on that are about politics, not about what is going on here and how can we help.
Okay.
You know, it's about...
Yeah, no, it's very clear, Peter. Let's let Steve Ray take a shot at that. The Pope, you love the Pope so much that you promoted him to saint. A lot of us do that. I call him Saint Francis too sometimes. Steve Ray, how do you address that concern that Peter has?
Well, I think that a lot of times on radio shows and talk shows, for example, like this one, we talk about the issues, politics, the Bible, controversies, what Jesus did and didn't do, all these kind of things. And that's important, too. And actually, that lays the groundwork for the mission that we have. A lot of what the Catholic Church does, and if you think of the Catholic Church like a big, big family, there's a story about the men who went up, blind men who went up to feel an elephant, and the one blind man went up, touched his leg, and he says, wow, the Catholic Church, the elephant's very much like a tree. Another guy grabbed his trunk and said, the elephant's very much like a snake. And they all had a different opinion of what the elephant was like based on what perspective they were feeling. And I think that's the way the Catholic Church is, too. It's this huge thing, and we do a lot. And if you just listen to some of the shows like EWTN or Raymond Arroyo, you're going to hear the teaching, the preaching, the masses, and so on. But if you go out and look at the soup kitchens, and you find out that the grassroots people in the Catholic Church are really doing this. Every diocese has ministries where they're feeding the poor, educating. One quarter of the world's population, the only health care they have access to is Catholic hospitals and medical clinics. And most of the time in the round the world, it's given away free. It's given and taken care of. The Catholic Church gives more food and things away than any other private organization. And I think that if you go even to a world atlas or fact book and look at these kind of things, the Catholic Church educates more people than any other private institution. It feeds and gives medical care to more than any other private institution. And Catholics are on the grassroots picketing abortion clinics. They're caring about human life. They're taking care of babies. I don't know where, Peter, you get the idea that we're not doing that. It's not either orthodoxy and teaching and discussing or doing these other things. We believe it's both and that the Catholic Church is big enough to accomplish both. Radio, yeah, radio and television. We're not out feeding the poor on the radio. But when you go out to the local parishes, you find out that they're distributing food to the poor. They're collecting food. There's a lot going on that's kind of below the surface that people don't really acknowledge. And one last thing is, let's face it, the media doesn't like the Catholic Church today, and it's not going to tell you the good things the Catholic Church does, but it's sure going to trumpet the bad things it thinks the Catholic Church does.
How's that strike you, Peter?
Yes, I really appreciate the thoroughness and the concrete things. I wanted to talk about just quickly, very quickly, the sanctity of life is also, I'm pro-life, but the sanctity of life is about killing the when it's unjust. And I think really, really talking about that and different wars that are going on that should not be, that's sanctity of life in general throughout the world. And I'm a veteran peace member, and I'm for peace. I'll stand for peace forever and ever as long as I live.
Amen, brother. Steve Ray?
I agree. I just make a comment that the Catholic Church, I don't think anybody is more pro-life, and even the last few popes have been so strongly against capital punishment. They have been against unjust wars. The Catholic Church is the first to ever develop even the concept of what a just war is. There are times where we need to fight, but that it shouldn't be unjustly done. It should be only in self-defense. It should be done under very strict conditions where we fight back. But the Catholic Church was the first one to develop the just war theory way back in the early centuries. And the Catholic Church is, there's no institution that promotes pro-life and the defense of human life and no death except for the end of life where someone dies naturally. The Catholic Church by far is despised by much of the world because of its pro-life stance on all of these things, including unjust wars.
Peter, I'm very grateful for your call and for the points you made.
Thank you, Peter.
And I will also tell you this, Peter. At my parish 2 weeks ago, they gave us a bag and said, fill it with food for the food pantry. And it's sitting under something in my car, and I forgot to fill it up. So you reminded me of that. I really appreciate it. I got to fill that. Go ahead, Steve.
I'll also say, Si, that the parish that we go to, they have a whole wing of the church. It's like four rooms that are dedicated just to the collection of food and clothing for the poor. Nobody within 10 miles of our parish has any need to be without food or clothing because it's open every day where they can come in and they can get food. Everybody from the parish and even the surrounding community brings food there and clothing and takes care of the poor in the streets. So, and ours isn't a unique parish. because obviously yours is doing the same thing and it's happening all over the world.
Yeah, they seem to be doing it without me at my parish because I forgot to bring my bag back. But Peter reminded me, so now I'll bring it back. 888-318-7884, the number. Steve Ray, our guest, is an open forum for non-Catholics. If you have any questions, comments, challenges about the Catholic Church, we're happy to take those. You have to give us a call, 888-318-7884. We go now to Morgan in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, watching on YouTube. Morgan, thanks for watching and thanks for calling. What's your question for Steve Ray?
Thank you very much for having me on. I'm not quite too sure about how well this question could be answered, but I will preface it with this, is that depending on who you ask, I may or may not be Catholic. I'm what is defined as a sedevacantist. And I recently heard an argument that I was wondering if you guys could give a further explanation on. And this argument was that we as Catholics have a moral obligation to the virtue of obedience and religion within the church to follow the church no matter which way it goes, and to make an analogy of it for any listener that might be confused, it would be better to say to the Lord at judgment day that I have followed your church though it was led by flawed men than to say I have rejected your church because it was flawed, as it were.
Very good point, and I know what the sedevacantist is. It means the chair is empty, which means that you don't accept the fact that there is a legitimate pope in Rome today. And there are a lot of traditionalists. It's called traditionalism. And especially since Vatican II, a lot of Catholics have not liked the result or the what they perceive as the unbiblical teaching of Vatican II and the abandoning of many of the traditions that we have held as a church up until that time. I understand completely. Morgan, is that your name, right, Morgan?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I completely understand the position because there are things that bishops do and say that drive me crazy. There are things that the popes do and say that I just scratch my head sometimes. But I do realize that Jesus said he was going to build his church and that the gates of hell won't prevail against it. He gave Peter the keys. I have to trust the Holy Spirit. I asked my bishop one time, what do you think about when there's problems in the church and leadership and so on? He says, I just have to remember that the Holy Spirit is the one who's in charge of the church. It's his church, not mine. I'm here to serve him in his church and to continue on. I believe that there will be the Catholic Church is correct. And I'm not saying that every bishop, everything they say is. Like I said, it drives me crazy sometimes what some bishops and those do. But I also believe that this is the church. I came from outside. I was a Protestant. I was a Protestant. I rejected the church, the Pope, the bishops, everything. And when I came into the church, I had to say, people said to me, well, are you going to accept the teachings of the church now? Are you going to follow the church no matter what? I said, you know what? I was a Protestant before. I was a Protestant before. I'm not going to come into the Catholic Church and be a Protestant again. I'm going to follow the church. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit. And at the end of time at the judgment seat, I'm going to say, Lord, you established your church. You said you were going to build it. You said you were going to send your Holy Spirit to be the heart and soul of the church. You said you would protect it. You would not let the gates of hell prevail against it. And I trusted you with that. So I stayed with your church and the leadership of that church. And if there's a problem, it's your fault, not mine.
Whoa. You're going to talk to Jesus like that? Like, seriously?
I will. You know,
you are? Wow.
I do. You know why? You know why? Because this is why. Because I view God kind of like my dad. My dad was a wonderful father, always forgiving. I could challenge him. We had a great time. And so I jokingly say that about God. You know that if you screw up, it's your fault, not mine. No, but what I mean by that in tongue-in-cheek is that he's the one building his church. He's the one that promised it. I'm not in a position to say, well, you know what? I don't really think this pope is the pope. And I really, well, where am I going to go? When they asked Peter in John chapter 6, are you going to leave too? Peter said, where else are we going to go? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. What am I going to do? Leave the church and become a Baptist again? Heavens no. I'm stuck with the church until the end, and I'm trusting Jesus to keep it on the straight and narrow. It's not going to be perfect. I knew when I joined it. Even I said to my wife, if the Catholic Church was perfect up till now, as soon as I join it, it's not going to be perfect anymore because I know myself. I'm stuck with the church. I'm sticking with it to the end.
Morgan, how does that all strike you?
Actually, full disclosure, I'm merely, I know you guys were talking about, like, this was the set of Vicontism was a position that I had been teetering on between the traditionalist modernist, the straight traditionalist, and the set of Vicontism. And, like, all of them each have their own really appealing theological arguments, each calling one another blasphemy. But I'm super glad that you guys were able to help me out in clarifying this and now presenting me with these arguments to go forward.
Amen, brother. Well, we're right up against the clock, so we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Steve Ray, Open Forum for Non-Catholics on Catholic Answers Live.
Be a part of Mother Angelica's mission. EWTN Radio is seeking a dynamic producer to join our growing radio team. The EWTN Radio producer is responsible for managing all aspects of live and recorded programs, develops program ideas consistent with EWTN's mission, and collaborates with the leading voices in Catholic radio. For all the details about this exciting opportunity, click on employment at EWTN.com.
Hello, my friends. This is Catholic Answers President Christopher Check, and I'm here to tell you about a unique resource just out from Catholic Answers Press. One of the ways Jesus answered his critics was to use their own words against them, showing how even the enemies of the faith admitted crucial facts that undermined their own positions. And it's been that way through the ages. It's proved impossible for those out to destroy the faith to mount their attacks without tripping themselves up and inadvertently testifying to the truth of what they're trying to destroy. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, renowned author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times to the present day and draws from their antagonistic words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. Rich in research and written with clarity and force, Hostile Witnesses is a unique contribution to Catholic apologetics and one that speaks with special urgency to a modern world in which the faith is under attack like never before. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at catholic.com, or asking for this book at a Catholic bookstore in your area.
Summer series still going on. August 20th, you can see Tim Staples twice, or you got two opportunities to see him once. He's going to talk at Santa Sophia Catholic Church at 9:15 a.m. Sunday morning, and then at St. Elizabeth Catholic Church at 6 p.m. Sunday evening. Both talks will be on Friends in High Places. That's his topic. For more information on attending the talk, visit Catholic Answers Facebook page or give us a call at 888-291-8000. And you can – a lot of the stuff has been streamed over the course of the summer. I know at least one of Tim's has. Don't know if this one's going to be, but you just go to our Facebook page and it tells you what's been streamed and what is going to be streamed this hour. Open forum for non-Catholics. So if you're not a Catholic – and you'd like to challenge us Catholics on something we believe or just get an explanation of something we believe, that's what we're here for this hour. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Steve Ray, our guest this hour. We go now, Steve, to Teresa in Cypress, California, listening on 93KHJ. That's in Los Angeles, I believe.
Hello, Teresa.
Hi, yes it is, and I used to listen to 93KHJ when it was a rock and roll station way back in the 60s or something.
I know, right?
Hey, you're dating right. yourself, because I used to listen to rock and roll back in the 60s too.
Yep.
I was still listening to nursery rhymes in the 60s, but you know, if you old people, go ahead.
That's cute. Well, I just have a before I ask my question, I just have a cute little, a little thing. I mean, you used the announcements for the books, whatever, they says get one at a good Catholic bookstore, and I'm thinking, are there bad Catholic bookstores?
A couple. No,
okay.
I'm only teasing. I've never been in one. That was just a joke. Sorry, Teresa.
Okay. I've been in a bad
anyway. So my question is, I've heard someone, and I don't know who, because I listen to a lot of your programs, say all the Jewish prophecies are fulfilled in the Mass, and I'm like, what? as Jesse says, is this microphone on? Because the Bible says that all Jewish prophecies or all prophecies are fulfilled in Jesus. So what does that mean, that all Jewish prophecies are fulfilled in the Mass?
Let me just suggest that that was probably either that, or maybe you misunderstood them. Not all prophecies of the Old Testament are fulfilled in the Eucharist. You're correct. There are prophecies about Jesus that are fulfilled. There are prophecies about the There are prophecies about Mary. What I think, if you just bear with me a minute, what I think was probably being meant by that comment was that the Jewish Passover and the life, the ceremonial worship life of the Jews is fulfilled in the Eucharist. That would be a correct statement. Not that all Jewish prophecies are fulfilled in the Eucharist, but that the worship life, the Passover meal and all the sacrifices of the Old Testament are fulfilled in the Eucharist. And I would explain it this way. In Exodus, when they were leaving Egypt, they had to kill a lamb, and they had to put the blood of the lamb on the vertical and horizontal beams of the door. And when they did that, the angel of death would fly over. So, and then they had to go in the house, and they had to be prepared to leave, and they had to eat the meat of the lamb. And the father was the priest. In that time, the father was the priest of the family, and they had a lamb to eat, and they had to eat all of the meat of the lamb before they were taken out. And when they were going out, they had to go through the Red Sea, which is a picture of water baptism, and they went out into the wilderness and ate the manna, which is a picture of the Eucharist. So let's go back and look at that real quickly. When Jesus is in the upper room, he's celebrating that Passover meal, but he changes it. And I think Peter probably got upset. You can't change that. You're not supposed to say that, because what Jesus is saying is, first of all, there's a problem in that Passover meal, because there is no description that there was a priest in the presence in that upper room, nor was there a lamb to eat. And yet, when you think about it, Jesus is the priest, and Jesus is also the lamb. He is both the victim and the priest. And when he says, "This is my body, eat this, this is my flesh," the reason he's saying that is because he is becoming the Passover meal. And at the Mass, the Catholics at the Eucharist, we eat the body and blood of Christ. And Jesus says to his disciples, "You must eat my body." He's referring to himself as the lamb. Before we leave this room, we have to eat the meat of the lamb, because this is the new Passover meal. And then when he's on the cross, and the new Passover lamb, Jesus, who is our new Passover lamb, is on the cross, we again see the blood of the Passover lamb on vertical and horizontal beams of the wood, but this time it's the vertical and horizontal beams of the cross. So again, we see the blood of the Passover lamb put on vertical and horizontal beams of the door. We eat the meat of the lamb, and all of these things in the Eucharist that the Catholic Church practices every day, and mainly every Sunday, is a fulfillment of the sacrifices in the Passover meal. One last thing. Some of the rabbis taught that when the Messiah comes, all of the sacrifices of the Jews will be done away with. There will only be one sacrifice left, and it will be called the Todah sacrifice. Todah in Hebrew is Eucharist in Greek, which is Thanksgiving in English. In other words, all of the sacrifices will be done away with, the meal sacrifices, the sacrifices. There will only be one.
Oh, hang on. Steve, we got to reestablish that connection with you. Teresa, let me check in with you while we're reestablishing that connection with Steve. How does all that strike you, what Steve had to say? Teresa? Oh, did I lose everybody?
You're here with me.
Well, I don't know.
You've got me.
Well, Teresa took a break. Yep, no, but yeah, I think Teresa had to go out, go shopping, and she was going to come back and hear the end of the answer. I can hear you, Steve.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you hear me now? Sorry, yeah. Steve. I'm not exactly – so you had said about the Todah sacrifice and the Eucharistic sacrifice, and then we lost you for a quick sec there.
I was just making the point that to show the fulfillment of the Eucharist of all the sacrifices of the Old Testament is that the rabbis taught that when the Messiah comes, all those other sacrifices will be done away with, and there will only be one left, and it'll be a Thanksgiving sacrifice. And that's exactly what Eucharist means. It means the Greek word for Thanksgiving. So it is the fulfillment of all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament.
Well, I would go back to Teresa now and ask what she thought about that. I'm very impressed with that answer. But I don't have Teresa. And from now on, could at least one person stay on the line with me while I'm doing the show? I mean, somebody's got to stay on the line with me. How about we go to Mary in Wisconsin? I feel fairly certain that Mary will stay on the line even if you leave, Steve. Mary, your question for Steve Ray.
Hi.
You're in Michigan.
Hello.
Did I say Wisconsin?
How are you?
Okay, sorry, that's probably what the delay. Marion, Michigan, what's your question for Steve?
Yeah. I started out when I was a new Christian. I started out going to a lot of different churches, thinking that all churches were good, all churches were the same. They all claimed to have the truth. They all wanted me baptized under the name of their denomination and to follow their doctrines. I went to very conservative, to very Pentecostal. I have been to Catholic. I went to Mormon. And finally, I said, Lord, something's wrong. Because I started reading the Word for myself and asking the Holy Spirit. And then when I started reading, it started saying, it talks about the church as a spiritual body of Christ. Spiritual.
So, Mary, I gotta move you towards a question here. It seems very clear what you've said so far, but your question for Steve is?
Let me just ask you this. Is, if I'm a non-Catholic, am I considered, am I going to get saved? Am I going to go to purgatory if I don't follow the Catholicism?
Okay, Mary, let me just ask one quick clarifying question, and then I will let Steve address that. Have you been baptized, Mary?
Yes, I have, in the Holy Spirit. And I have been water baptized.
You've been water baptized. Okay, Steve, how would you address Mary's concerns?
Well, I think I understand it. And hello, Mary, and you're from Michigan. I'm also from Michigan, but I'm in Phoenix right now, and I wish I was back in Michigan because it's 108 degrees down here. I think I understand what you're saying because I was in my early life, I was an evangelical Protestant, and I had no concept of the church being a physical organization or an institution. I only had the concept of the church being kind of like an invisible brotherhood of all of those who believe in Jesus Christ. It doesn't have an address, so to speak. It's just a invisible unit of people. Now, there is the mystical body of Christ. First of all, let's say that there is the mystical body of Christ, and Christ knows those who are his and those who are not his. And that makes up the mystical body of Christ. However, I believe that the church is a physical, societal, institutional organization that's visible. I think I'm just going to give you two verses that I would challenge you to read and to think about. Number one is John chapter 17. Jesus says, before he's crucified, he's in front of the temple in John 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. You're getting his last words, in a sense. He's pouring his heart out right before he's going to the cross. And he says, Father, you and I are one. And I pray that all of the people will be one, that they will be perfected in unity so that the world may know the Father sent the Son. Now, that has to be a visible unity. It cannot be an invisible unity because then the world can't see it. The world has to be able to see the visible unity of the church, which means there has to be something to see. It has to be visible, not just an invisible unity. And when the world sees the visible unity, it has the right to say the Father sent the Son. However, if the world looks and sees all denominations and fragments and sects and groups competing with one another, which you admitted you recognized, and I did too. I went to all those places myself. Then the world sees the confusion and has the right to say the Father did not send the Son. One more passage in Matthew chapter 18. Jesus is talking about the church, and he says, if a brother sins against you, take it to the church. Take it to your brother. Get it straightened out, just the two of you. But if he doesn't listen, then take it to two or three witnesses and take it up a step and get it straightened out with two or three witnesses, kind of like in a courtroom setting. But if he doesn't listen to them, then take it to the church. My question I had to ask myself is, where is the church? If I get into an argument with a Christian brother of mine who lives across the street, he goes to the Baptist church, I go to the Lutheran church, maybe I don't go to any church, I'm just a generic believe in Jesus Christian. And we have a conflict, and we can't resolve it among ourselves. Where is the church that will act as a court that we can take our problem to? When Jesus gave Peter the keys of the kingdom, and he said to the other 11, all of them, I'm giving you the power to bind and loose, that was establishing a legal system within an institution, the church, whereas if you had a problem, you could go to them and they would solve the problem. Binding and loosing was Jewish terms for making laws, judging laws, forgiving, and keeping people out of the community you're in. Interestingly, in the upper room, there were 120 people. It says about 120 names. And in Jewish tradition, if you're going to start a new community with your own courts and your own society, you needed a minimum of 120 people. And that's exactly what they had in the other upper room. The Holy Spirit came down and they went out away from Judaism and started their own visible community with judges and man with the keys and the ability to bind and loose. And they started their own visible community called the church. And that visible community grew and grew and was supposed to maintain its unity, visible unity, so the whole world would know it's true. But what happened after 1500s, Martin Luther came and brought all the divisions and splits, and it did a great harm to the church. So I understand the mystical body of Christ, but I also understand that Jesus is building a physical body, a church here that has an address so that if you have a problem, there's a place where you can go to have it resolved. I hope that helps.
Oh, sorry, Steve. I have to say thank you to Mary, and because we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more. Steve Ray, open forum for non-Catholics on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live with
Steve Ray.
Today on Catholic Answers Live.
It's impossible to escape the fact that the Catholic faith is under attack today. All you have to do is glance at the news, look at the internet, or talk with people you know, and you'll encounter challenge after challenge. At Catholic Answers, one question we get all the time is how our experts went about learning the craft of apologetics. That's a question Catholic Answers founder Carl Keating has just given his answer to. It's found in his brand new book on the works that made him an apologist. Drawing on a lifetime of experience, Carl reveals the books that helped him learn to defend the Catholic faith. He also recounts numerous anecdotes, real-life situations he has encountered in his long career that illustrate the apologetic lessons he learned. Catholic Answers needs your help to do all of its apostolic work, including producing fascinating and informative books like this. To make your donation and get free copies of Carl Keating's new books, visit Catholic.com and click the Carl Keating banner or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Carl Keating banner at Catholic.com or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And don't forget, next hour, Handsome Joe Sikora from The Joe Sikora Show will be here. We're going to talk about faith and mental health. Joe also happens to be a mental health expert and professional. So that'll be a fun, exciting, and I think very helpful hour next hour. This hour, we're talking with Steve Ray, who is in the 108-degree desert heat of Arizona, but has been, I think you've been holding up well there, Steve. You haven't wilted under the pressure of the questions or under the heat of the desert because it's an open forum for non-Catholics today. So all of our calls are coming from non-Catholics who would like to know something about why we Catholics believe or do something that we believe or do. If you are among those, you still have time to get a call in. 888-318-7884, the number. 888-31-TRUTH. And we go now to Chris in Boise, Idaho, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Chris, you are on with Steve Ray. What's your question?
Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Chris. We can hardly speak.
I'm in Boise, Idaho, and I'd like to know if the Pope eats fish on Friday, and if I do it, that would that make me a better Catholic?
Oh, I see. Okay, so you are a Catholic.
Well, I like to be a Catholic. I like to know about the fish because I like to know about if the Pope eats fish on Friday, and does that make one a good Catholic?
Well, I'll handle that. I think there's something fishy about this question. Sorry, just a little humor here. I don't know what the Pope eats. I have never met this Pope. I did meet Pope John Paul II and Pope Benedict. I have never met Pope Francis. I have no idea what he eats on Friday. There's no requirement that we eat fish on Friday. There was, and it's not a law of the church anymore, that we're not allowed to eat meat on Friday, but we could eat fish. So there's never been a time where it was a mandate that we eat fish, but we could eat fish instead of eating meat. And whether it makes you a good Catholic or not, I would say no. You can, what you eat, Jesus said, it's not what a man eats that makes him clean. It's what comes out of his mouth that makes him clean or unclean. So you can eat fish, you can eat meat, you can eat any. And the Jews had a very limited diet. They couldn't eat pigs, they couldn't eat lobster and clams and shrimp and all that other good stuff. But and they said you have to eat only these things. That's what makes you clean. Jesus said, no, no, no. It's not what goes into a man that makes him clean. It's what comes out of your mouth. It's what you say. It's how you live your life. That's what makes you clean. So being a good Catholic is not about what you eat. Being a good Catholic is about loving Jesus, how you conduct your life, living a holy life, being kind and generous and charitable to other people. If you want to be a good Catholic, that's the requirements, not what you eat.
Does that help you, Chris?
Well, but how about giving an example to the world? I mean, because fish, they don't reproduce by mouth or something like that. And so you eat fish because fish is pure.
Well, yeah. I'm at a little bit at a loss because Steve is not saying that there's, for example, we're allowed to do any kind of penance we want on Fridays. The reason that it's Fridays is that, of course, that's the day that the Lord gave his life for us. So sometimes we try to give a little sacrifice to remind us of that and to do penance. But it's not about there's not a food, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve Ray, but I think you're saying there's not a food that's more pure and less pure than another food.
I think vegans would argue with this and say eating any animals is unclean or impure and not right. You should just eat vegetables, nuts and seeds and vegetable life. I think that some people, even the Jews, were not allowed to eat catfish. I was out fishing one night with the Jews. They took me out fishing with them on the Sea of Galilee. I was out the whole night, and they caught a catfish, and they smashed it on the bow of the boat to a bloody pulp and threw it in the water. And I said, why did you do that? That would get $100 back in Detroit where I live. And he said, because it's a pigfish. It's an unclean animal. According to the Old Testament law, a catfish was unclean, not clean or pure. It was an unclean food. It was bottom feeder, just like a vulture or animals that bottom feed. The pigs are like that. So there are no foods now for Christians that are considered to be clean and unclean ceremonially. There are some foods that are better for us, of course. It's better to eat salmon than to eat pork every night. It's better for you healthy-wise, but that has nothing to do with what makes us a good Catholic or not. Being a good Catholic is how we conduct our life in love and obedience to Jesus Christ.
But pork is the other white meat.
Yeah, in Israel, you can still get it, even though Muslims and Jews won't eat pork normally, but they have what they call a white steak, and you can get pork in some places. You know, here's a funny thing. I know this is off the track, but in Israel, there's a law that no Jew can raise own pigs, and there's no pigs that can touch the land of Israel, and yet there are pigs there. How? Because they put a Christian as the CEO, so no Jew owns those pigs, and they build platforms 3 feet above the ground so the pigs never touch the land of Israel. So you can always get around these rules.
I guess you can. I guess they did in Jesus' day as well, because I remember the demons going into the pigs. Let's go to Deborah in Whitehall, Ohio, listening online. Deborah, thanks for waiting patiently. What's your question for Steve Ray?
Hi, I'm Deborah, and I'm thinking about becoming a Catholic, and I just want to I just have like a quick question. I am a Christian, but I'm thinking about converting to being a Catholic. I'm just I just have a quick, like, what's the difference between being a Catholic and being a Christian? Because I know that they both honor and praise, like, one God. So I just have a question.
Right. First of all, Deborah, thanks very much. It's wonderful to get a call like that. And Steve, go ahead. What you can address.
Thank you, Deborah. By the way, I don't know it, Deborah, if you know it or not, but you are named after quite the heroic woman. If you read the book of Judges, chapter 4, all the men were afraid to go out and do battle. And Deborah says, I'll lead the armies of Israel. And she would do what all the men were afraid to do. And she led the armies of Israel and won the war. So you are named after a very heroic woman. So now that I would say, what's the difference between Catholic and Christian? Christian means that you believe in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, he shed his blood for us so that we could be saved and live with him forever. He sends his Holy Spirit down, and that he gives us the church where we can love each other and live out that Christian life. Catholic is Christian. It's just a particular name that says it's Christianity for all the world. The word Catholic simply means universal. It's for all the people, all the truth, all the time. So the Christian, Catholic is Christian. It's the same thing, Christian and Catholic. But Catholic means a kind of Christian that accepts the fact that there is one visible, holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, that Jesus started it back in the first century, and that it has continued to this day through the popes, everyone. There's Peter, Linus, Cletus, Clement, all the way down today to Francis and Benedict and John Paul II, 266. You can trace that line of popes all the way back to Jesus. Now, Baptists can't do that. Just generic Christians can't do that. But the Catholic Church is the visible church that Jesus started 2,000 years ago. It started out small with 12, and then 3,000 were added. And the next thing you know, now the Catholic Church covers the whole world. Every area has its own bishop. The Pope is over the whole church, and the Holy Spirit is living and working in the Catholic Church. So Catholics are Christians. It's just they believe that there should be one church over all the earth, bringing all the truth to all the people all the time. It's universal. So I would encourage you, Deborah, with that famous name of yours from the hero back in the book of Judges, I would encourage you to join the Catholic Church because I think you'd love it.
Whoa, I didn't know all that now. Okay.
Deborah, we have a process in the Catholic Church for coming in, which is actually starting in most parishes either this month or next month. It starts at different times in different parishes. So if you have a Catholic church near you, there's no obligation. You don't have to become Catholic, but you can just go and learn about it by joining this RCIA process. As a matter of fact, if you just go to any parish in the world and you say RCIA, they're going to know what you're talking about. And you can take one class or 10 or whatever you want to do, but it's a good place to begin to learn about the Catholic faith.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Deborah.
That's a pretty nice way to end an hour with Steve Ray, talking with Deborah. What do you think about that, Steve?
I loved it. I think Deborah's a very honest and nice lady, and I love her name. And I hope she goes and reads Judges chapter 4 and 5 and see how famous she really is.
Well, Steve Ray, we have come to the top of the hour, so I have to say thanks. I hope you can find some air conditioning somewhere and get out of the heat.
Me too. Actually, what we're going to do right now is we just finished our video, put the final touches on it. I'm going to our producer. His name is Joe Reynolds. He has a theater in his house. We're going to watch the movie we've been working on for over a year for the first time. I cannot wait to see it.
Well, very good. We'll see you next time, Steve Ray. Coming up next hour, Joe Sikora is here with us, radio host extraordinaire, but also a licensed marriage and family therapist. And we're going to talk about faith and mental health. Maybe sometimes we feel like we shouldn't just pray our way out of it if we're experiencing, I don't know, depression or anxiety or marital family problems. It is the case that prayer will help, but it's also the case that other things may help as well. And Joe will be here to parse that for us and help us to know when we need which of which. We'll be right back after this with more Catholic Answers Live.